We now come to the second part of our session, and this is really the part that you are waiting for, the preparation of a message. Now again, I'm telling you what I do. I'm sure there are many, many other people here who can teach you or share with you better methods, better things too. So I am just part of this process of helping you to prepare a message. And not necessarily what I do is the best. So, but I tell you just what to do. Now, we'll start off in our discussion on the preparation of a message with the types of messages. Firstly, what are the messages that we should be asked to prepare? Now, there are messages that are based on topics. For example, topics that defend the faith, which will be apologetic. Topics that are doctrinal, which have to do with doctrines. Topics that are devotional, that apply to life. And then there are the day-to-day, contemporary, current topics. Now, for example, Island Gates Gospel Center is now dealing with a series of contemporary and current day-to-day topics. Then we have another example of Sungai Nibong and Sungai Ara dealing with the sea type based on texts and passages where they study the book of Matthew. Then there are those that are based on themes, like what I did with Sungai Ara and Sungai Nibong before, the tabernacle studies and so on. So there are different messages, but basically they are based on topics, themes, texts. Now, whatever the types of messages we are asked to prepare, please remember a threefold ministry motif that the Bible spells out for every messenger of the word of the word. Found in 1 Corinthians 14:3, there must be edification, there is teaching to build up, exhortation, there is devotional, to challenge, to lift up, encouragement, that is special message to encourage, to look up. So in all our messages, the purpose should be either to build up, to challenge people to live up, or to encourage people to look up. So that will be the motive, biblical motive, as we read in 1 Corinthians 14:3. Now, when we prepare messages, we are asked to do so by the oversight. Here is your topic. In most cases, a theme is spelled out. When we receive the speaker's roster, we need to look at the roster. And we need to see what the theme is about. And this is where I would strongly encourage elders who are preparing the speaker's rosters to furnish the main theme for the series. Please furnish the main theme for the series, so that we have an idea of what you are or you want the assembly to head for, the direction you are going. Now, I do not know. Please pardon me for being very blunt. I feel that when you prepare the speaker's list and you just give Ang Kim Cheng, Matthew 22, finish. So and so, Matthew 23, finish. So and so, Matthew 24, finish. Very easy to prepare the speaker's list. But how does it benefit the audience? I receive Matthew 22. I treat it in my own way. I look at it from a different aspect. And I see the theme as different perhaps from yours. And the purpose as different from yours. So I speak on that topic. And then another person, he looks at it in another direction, in another way. And the poor people who listen, they get all confused. They get all misdirected. So, may I suggest very strongly for those who prepare the speakers list for speakers. Anyway, this is my personal problem. That you should always have one amazing for the whole series. Then secondly, after that, the various topics. Then at least give us the passage and then the theme, what you want us to touch upon. Because chapter 22 of Matthew can be touching on this topic or that topic or another topic, depending on how the messenger looks at it. So may I suggest that there should be at least something to direct our thought in the direction that you want us to go when we deal with the topic. So when this is done and it is found in the speaker's list and handed to speakers, then what should the speakers do? Number one, analyze it. What is it about? When you look at the main theme or the sub-theme that is given to you, please don't stop at that. Look up and see the themes covered by other speakers. Look down and see what the other speakers are covering. And try to relate your topic with those that have gone before and those that have come after. And see how your topic can fit in with what has gone on and with what will come after. I think that's important. So that the congregation will not get confused. So please analyze the theme, what it is all about. Approach it. Think on it. Ask the question when you get the passage. What? Who? When? Why? Where? And so on. Now, what, who, when, and why? What, who, and when will give you the context of the passage, the study. That will lead you on to examine and investigate certain facts. They are factual. The why will then make you think about that passage and you ask yourself, why am I speaking on this? Why is the oversight asking me to speak on this? Why is it included in that part of the Bible? What does the Lord want me to speak on? What is the purpose for which this incident, this event is included in the scripture? Ask yourself why. Get into the purpose of that. After that, then you will have to find out where. Where would also refer to the people who are going to listen to you. What? Who are they? What kind of people are they? Young people? Adults? Or older ones? Or a mixture? You need to consider all these aspects so that you can prepare a message that will fit with their level and with their needs. So, these are questions you need to ask. And how the passage, how the theme can relate to what you are going to say. So just don't make it or treat it as a lecture piece, or you say what you might and so on. Think about it. Finally, adhere to it. Know the general theme and its specific aim, and do not pad and not sidetrack. What do I mean? You see, sometimes, especially young speakers, when a topic is given to them, it's so difficult. They don't know what to say. They don't have the resources. So they just pad it with stories and so on. Now, that's no good. You have got to get into the message and find out what it's all about and then develop on it. In other words, you have to let the text speak for itself and not what you want the text to speak. Let me repeat. You have got to find out what the text wants you to speak and not what you want the text to speak, so that you use the text to achieve your purpose and your goal. That should never be. It should be the digging out of the truths and of the message, essential message of the text, so that you deliver that text as God's channel. You do not come up with your own message and twist it and make the text say what you want to say. So this is important, and that's why sometimes you have got to leave out what you want to say because the text doesn't say that. Okay, let's examine the text now. You are given the text, so what reference and so on. What do you do? First, read the text, make the message biblical. Now here is a comment by Calvin Whitman. Whenever you preach, you should begin with, stay with, and finish with the text. Please, I like to note that. When you preach, you should begin with, stay with, and finish with the text. That does not mean you cannot address the issues surrounding your situation, but you must find what God's word has to say about your particular situation. Now, he gives his experience. I allow the text to drive the outline of the message and then make application to the church as the points allow. As the points allow. Very important. I underline that. Very often, we have a grudge in us to say something against somebody or to say something against the church, and somehow or other we twist that text to fit our statement so that we make it say what we want it to say. Please don't do that. The pulpit is sacred. It is the place where God speaks. It is not the place where you speak. This is no place for personal passing of your message. This is the place where God speaks. So you must be true. Alright, so we go on. Both dealing with the text and addressing the needs of my church are possible in the same message, but one of them must be in the driver's seat. For me, it would always almost be the text. So this is what we need to remember. Our message should always be biblical. Don't it make it fit our own purpose? After reading the text, then how to prepare? Remember, we are starting off practically how I would do it. I would look at the text, then now I will review the context for the meaning. I want to find out what it means, the text. Don't take the text out of the context. So I will first allow the language to both clarify and create questions. I read the text. What does it say? What does the language say? I will examine the language. I will examine the tense. I will examine the number. I will examine the grammar. I will examine the text. Look at what it says. And I will ask, why? Why like that? Why like this? I will ask questions. So, this is just to start. After that, I apply my skill, so to speak, and of what I know, and refer to language resources to understand the vocabulary, word order, and structural connections. Now, what I need to do is observe. Observe certain things in the text. Is there a word keeps on repeating itself? Then that word may be the key word to the understanding of the text. Is there a phrase that keeps on repeating? If it is, then that must be important. I look at my reference margin, see whether there are any references there. There are, which I think quite important. I will turn to references and see how this text and the other verses are connected. Join them and see how, and if there is a word there, most probably there is a difficult word there, which is obsolete, which is perhaps ambiguous, and I do not know what it means. So what I do, I look at the marginal reference. There's a small letter B on top of it. The B in the margin says Revelation 6 verse 8. Look, Revelation 6 verse 8. Oh, the word is used again. How is the word used? Oh, here it gives me the meaning. So I would now relate the meaning of that word to this word. and see whether it fits in or not. And that's how I try to interpret the text. So this is how you look at it. It's a lot of hard work, very hard work. You have got to turn to Bible references. That's why you will note that those of you who have received notes from me, especially those who received my rumination, you will find that there are a lot of references, because I will not make any statement without a reference to the scripture. Everything should be supported by scripture, not by what I think. Next. So you look at the understand the vocabulary, the word order, and the structural connections. And this is where you will look at commentaries to help you. You will look at concordance to help you. You will look at the various reference books. Three, relate to the theme. Look out for keywords and verses and string them into a sensible, orderly outline. So what you do is you look out for those keywords and see whether you can put them in order. Never mind that this is the advantage of computer again. If you think of anything, just take one thought and another thought, write it down first. Don't try to have a proper order yet. Just put it down. I'll develop that as we go on. So try to connect it to the theme. Keep in mind the theme, please. Always keep in mind the theme. Don't get out of the theme. Then resource, research the topic. Look at other commentaries and other books for your references. Record the results. Write out an outline with headings and subheadings. This should represent a historically correct account of the author's unfolding progression of thought. Alright? So this roughly is the outline, the procedure, which I follow. Let me repeat. I'm given a theme. I'm given a topic and a text. I study the theme. That theme will be the direction that if this topic is given to me by the oversight, that the oversight hope I will lead the congregation into. Study the text and the theme. Look at the text. Any keywords to help me? Any words that are too difficult to understand? Why? Look at the grammar, look at the order. Is it normal or is it extraordinary? Look at the other references connected to this verse. And then after I've looked at all these, put the thoughts together, string them out, see whether I can find any order. This one first, this one second, this one third, then put them all in order. And on the computer, it's so easy. Next point, the thoughts. How do I get the thoughts down now? Jot down any thought. Anything that comes into your mind, write it down. You know, before the computer age, I had to jot down all on paper. Paper. I would write it down, all the thoughts. And then later on, when I wanted to move them, oh, you so difficult. I got to cancel this and cancel that, and then go to move one from the top to the bottom, bottom to the top. How to move? Cancel. A lot of hard work. Now so easy. Cut, paste. Move all over. Doesn't matter. So it's very easy on your computer. So copy. So what do I do? Now I'm the process. That first thing, to jot down the thoughts. First, in order to be able to read the text and to have the text before you always, and not to keep on turning to that page and so on, and then back to the notes. So what I do is copy the Bible text out. Copy the Bible text out, put it onto my notes. Pen there, it's there in front of me all the time. So keep on reading it. As you keep on reading it, the thoughts come. Various thoughts will come. And as the thoughts come, write down. Type it down below that verse. So you always have the text in front of you, and then any thoughts come to your mind, jot down. That's number one. compare the text passage with other translations, some literal to paraphrastic. What do I know? What do I mean? I look at other translations. Now, as I told you just now, at least three translations will always be in front of me. My King James, my NRSV, my NIV. Always these three will be in front of me. So when I look at, and they are all synced. When I move one, all the other versions also move accordingly to the same reference. So I look at the verse, read the other one, Modern English, NIV, what does it say? Ah, so, and if I see words disagree, why? Why? Below, I see from the concordance, Strong's concordance, that word, it's found there in the Strong. What does it mean? The Strong concordance will give them the meaning. The meaning. And so from the meaning, I will find out what it means. Just give you an example. Let me go to the concordance and let you see. So, I look at this verse. Alright. I will give unto you the king's keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Okay. Very difficult. I compare that with NRSV. These two are literal. NRSV says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Very. Still almost the same. No difference. Cannot understand. NIV. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Still the same. No help. So, what do I do? The next thing perhaps, now, this is impromptu, you know, I just took it from Mr. Sinapan. So what I do is, I look at, now, what does it mean by this bound? Ah, bound. In the Strong's concordance is D-A-O. What does it mean? Ah, there is a meaning there. D-A-O. It gives you the pronunciation also. It's to bind. In various applications, literally, bind, be it bonds, knit, tie, word, see also this reference, what it means, and so on. So, with this kind of reference, and comparing one, and contrasting one another, you try to get what it means. So you find that it's not easy. I must admit that. It takes a long time. Only one word, one verse, but it's a long time. But it's worth it. So that when you speak with authority. Not, well, I'm not sure, I do not know. Alright? So, this is what you do. And this is what I do, I'm sorry. So, compare the text and passage with other translations. Next, concentrate on the text and write down any thoughts that come in mind to any order. I look at the text above again. Read it again and again. Anything that comes to my mind, I jot it down. That's the first step. Jot down anything. Then, look up references. Clip out useful notes from commentaries or Bibles and paste them here in any order. First, I have the Bible verse. Then the next thing is, I look at my commentary. Alright, just now I showed you the various commentaries. So you look the commentary for a certain verse and then see what it says. And then from there, oh, there's one sentence there, a thought there, which is very relevant. What you do is copy, cut, paste. And so you have the text, comment, 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 comment. What can you see? What do these people say about this text? So I look. Now, when I say what these people say about this text, I am not applying to what they apply. I do not want to use that, very frankly speaking. I feel that any application of a text must be from the Lord to me. I'm not going to use any application of a text by somebody else. The Lord may speak to him using that text in that way. But I want the Lord to speak to me using that text in His way. So, what I copy from the commentary is not what he applies, but is what he researches and what he finds about the real meaning of the word. I hope you know what I mean. Alright? So I'm not interested in what other people say. I'm not interested in what other people think. I'm not interested in people's opinions, no matter how good they are. I'm interested only in what is the raw material of that word, what it means. And from there, I will meditate and see how that word will fit in with the text and how it can be explained. And I wait upon the Lord to lead me on, so that I get the Lord's message and not somebody else's. So that I look it from my point of view as the Lord leads me. So, the next point. So jot down first the any thought, juxtapose the thoughts. In other words, put the thought together. Put the thought together. Now, at this moment, the thoughts are here and there. They are not in order, and they don't make sense. So what do you do? Set your sight. Allow the passage to create questions and doubts. Use all these comments that you find. Use all the meanings that you have discovered. And see whether you can sort of string them together, put them together, so that they form a picture of what, or the outline of a message that you want to deliver. So ask again, who is important to this passage? What does that make sense? Where did this take place? When did this take place? That will be the facts. Lay down the facts. You can never interpret or apply when the facts are wrong. Please note that. You must first establish the facts. Once you have established the facts, then build up and interpret on the facts. But if you have not established the facts, then you cannot interpret. That's why it's so important you must get the correct interpretation first. How is the text to be interpreted? Once you get it interpreted, then you can apply it. But when the text is wrongly interpreted, then the application is meaningless. So, after you have got these notes here and there and everywhere, eliminate unwanted ones. Extract further thoughts. Those which you think cannot fit in with the text, with the message, eliminate them. You can have two ways of eliminating them. One, the first way is delete. Delete. But the point is, at this moment, when you want to delete, because it is of no meaning to you, later on, it may have a meaning, you know. And then you regret it. Ayah, where did I put that thought? Then you have got to go on the process of undo, until it comes back. That's one way. Alright? The better way, which I often do, is I take that which I think is of not much use at the moment, put it right at the bottom of the text, of my notes, right at the bottom. I put a break page, and I start a new page. Then I put on all these unwanted things that I do not want, put them there. So that later on, suddenly, hey, I can use that thought, you know, that I can go back and it's there. I don't have to search for it. So this is how I go about it. Next, so eliminate unwanted ones, extract further thoughts, know why you are going to preach and what you want the people to take home. Make it understandable to others. So this will be the two important motives. Why you are preaching it, to what you want the people to take home. So what I want you to take home today in the preparation of the message is jot down the thoughts, juxtapose the thoughts. Second. Third one, still we'll come to that later on. Then explain and elucidate the thoughts if needed. Use your available resources to find visual illustrations that will enhance your central topic, pictures, video clips, physical objects, etc. In other words, here you try to illustrate what you want to mean to make people understand tell anecdotes and so on. But these anecdotes, this illustration, are to illustrate and to make your thoughts understandable, not to entertain. I make people laugh and make people enjoy. Forget it. What you give is must have a purpose. Now, sometimes it is to entertain. It's okay. What do I mean by okay? When you feel that when you give a lot of heavy stuff and people are about to sleep, put in something, let them laugh a bit. Ha, okay. That thing has nothing to do with your message. Never mind. The people wake up. You hammer in. That's all that you do. That's what I'm doing to now. See? So have them ready. So this is what you do. So but please make sure that in the message proper, your illustrations are to enhance the message, not to just entertain. Then ensure that they do not distract but enhance the audience's understandings of the take-home truth. So jot down the thoughts, juxtapose the thoughts, justify the thoughts. What do I mean by justify the thoughts? Now's the time when you have all the thoughts ready. Look carefully, study them. Those which are important, take. Those which are not important, put aside or put them away. And then arrange them. A, get a goal. Summarize the entire message in a single sentence if you can. Get a goal. What do you want them to do in the take-home truth? What is your purpose? Basically, in all scripture, in all sermons, in all messages, it is to exhort, to live up to edify, to build up, to encourage, to help them to look up. Alright? That it will be your motive. But specifically for that message, summarize what you want to do. What is my whole purpose? Can I say in a sentence what I want you to do for this seminar? What is that sentence? Simple. I base it on the scripture. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to prove thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I want you to study. Study. I want you to get your relationship right with the Lord, that you may be approved. And then after that, I want you not to be afraid, not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, that when you speak with authority, because you have checked and confirmed every fact. You have the authority to speak rightly, dividing the word of truth. That is my purpose for the two sessions in the seminar. Whether I fulfill or not, it's up to you to see. So now, connect the thoughts to the central theme. And that's why I say elders will be so valuable to us if they give us the theme. Not only the main theme for the whole term series, but also the theme for every topic. You know, when I was an elder in Bumborough Gospel Hall, and I was in charge of the speakers list, you just not know what I had to do. First, I had the main theme, and I had the various subtopics, and then the sub-themes, and then I had an outline of every topic for the whole term. So much so that by the time I finished, I had prepared messages for every single person standing up on the pulpit to show them, look, this is the direction. Why do I do this? One, I do not want people who have nothing to say just to repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat old stuff. You know, the previous speaker spoke this, and I'm going on and on and on. Out of a half an hour message, 10 to 15 minutes, reviewing what the other previous speaker spoke, and then you get nothing out of it. Or secondly, and on a lot of illustrations with nothing to pass on. I do not want that. You come in, at best, review a few sentences, take a few minutes to connect to the previous one, and then get on. Do not pad and do not sidetrack. This is what every person on the pulpit must do. Not just repeat and repeat old record stuff, and nothing new afresh comes on. And then, you know, that brother spoke that Sunday on this and that, that, and went on to describe and review and repeat what he said. What's the point? So, come on with a message that you receive. So, get the goal, connect the thoughts to the central theme, determine the flow of thought so that you can understand how each specific element of the passage can be connected to the central theme. You have your thoughts thrown all over the places. Now, connect them together. Connect them. See whether there is anything that by which you can connect the thoughts together. Okay? Check and confirm. Depend on the Spirit's guidance intuitively. Develop the thoughts logically and dress them creatively in your own words. Let me repeat this and let me explain. Pray, alright? You must pray. Depend on the Spirit's guidance. As you have the thoughts in front of you, pray, Lord, lead me on what I should say and what I should be thinking about and what I should pass on to the people. Alright, depend on the speech guidance intuitively. Develop the thoughts logically. Now, when the thoughts are appearing before you, they are all over the places. Now, how do you arrange them so that the thoughts develop logically, bit by bit, bit by bit, so that the next point is a development of the previous point, and so on. So, be logical. Be logical. Thirdly, dress them creatively in your own words. Dress them. Very important. By all means, copy from the commentators. By all means. But please don't use every word of the commentator. Don't use. They have come up with useful thoughts. They have come up with useful findings. Now, look at them. What you do is change the wordings into that of your own, so that people cannot recognize them anymore. And you can say, it's my own. Now, you know, alright, you see some of the thoughts in italics? That is for my information. The thoughts in italics actually are copied from Logos. How to prepare a sermon. Now, I said, don't refer to these people earlier. I didn't. Why did I put all this in italics? I had my outline already. After I had my outline, in later days, I started to do some research. And suddenly, look, this is useful. Suddenly, I received an email from Logos, how to prepare a sermon outline. I was interested. I looked, that's useful. So I just pick here and there, and then incorporate them into my notes, and they are my notes already. And you don't know that any better. And the more you don't know, because I dress them in alliteration, my own style. You know what's alliteration? A-A-A-A, D-D-D-D, C-C-C-C, my own style. Today you copy that, I know already, you copy from me. I know. Many people, there are a few who do copy, but they cannot copy to my extent. They can copy first three main thoughts, A. After that, they get lost already. They cannot carry on. That's my style. Alright? You start to cultivate your own style so that you can recognize it. People can recognize it. That is Mr. Ang's style. Gadam style. Easy. You know at once. So, it is important that you dress them up in your own way. So, be creative. Be creative. Alright? D. Now, this is where I came in with Logos. Check and confirm the correctness of your thoughts in the context. After you have finished your outline, then you start checking. Please note, I am not saying look at all other resources and then form your outline. Form your outline first and then check and confirm. I'm not asking you to go and check from go and refer to all other books and so on, and then after that copy from here, copy from there, copy from there, and then you have your outline. No, you can refer to help you later at the beginning, then come up with the outline. After you have finished the outline, then you refer, you check and recheck and confirm, and after that you can add on or subtract when you find some things are wrong. You know, up to this afternoon, I was at Sungai Nibong this morning. I came back at 1 p.m. I was looking through again, and you see those brown letters and so on. Those are new thoughts that I added. They are not in your notes. That's why I put them brown. They are not in your notes because they were new thoughts that I found out for myself as I read things, many other things. So you finish your message first, your message outline. After that, you refer for other additional sources for thoughts and so on. Alright? So let's go. Check out and confirm the correctness of your thoughts in the context. Read what others have written and how they have applied the passage. Again, I strongly advise, do not refer to that at the beginning. How other people apply. Because you need to apply as the Lord leads you, not from other people. Consider the cultural and theological perspectives. What is the historical truth? The facts. What is the timeless truth? Those truths that cannot be changed. What is the central truth that you want to pass over? And what is the take-home truth? The message must be applied to practical situations. Lastly, fine-tune the final message. Introduce a message intuitively, inductively, interrogatively, illustratively. That we shall cover next session. How do you introduce? Alright, how do you introduce? Decide on the form of our preparation. Here again, we are coming to the second part, the presentation. Are you going to read verbatim your message when you present? Then you're going to write out in words. I suggest that is not the thing to do. I suggest not. My encouragement is, again, have an outline like this. Have an outline. Don't prepare word for word. Two or three reasons why. One, if you prepare word for word, you cannot change. And you have to memorize. And then you get stuck halfway, blank. You cannot carry on. Don't do that. Not too good. You have no eye contact with the audience, because you concentrate more on your notes. Two, if you have additional thoughts later part, you cannot add, because you have already written in black and verbatim. That's what I did. I still remember my first message, the first message I was asked to do in a young people's group. I spoke on 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, when I was asked to speak at the young people's group by Mr. Tan Wah Kim. I said, I'm afraid, cannot, I will not do it. I don't care how you do it, you memorize it, you write it out, everything you want to do, you do, but you speak. Can you imagine the first encounter? The first encounter, wow, Mr. Tan Wah Kim. But he put me in that spot, and, well, I went through it. And immediately after, because I had something to grind in my heart. I had a grudge. I was against certain young people and so on, and their treatment of me. So I added that message. I bummed out, hammered in. Then Mr. S.S. Adams, who was that? Who are you referring to? First time speaking. Then Mr. John Smith, one from the British Air Force, he called me aside after the service. Come here, let me see what you have written. I showed him, written out there, word for word. Don't do this, it's very bad. Word for word, you just write points down. Three very unpleasant encounters, my first time giving a message. Would you give up? No. I did not give up. I took up as a challenge. So, let me not discourage some of you in case you think it's too difficult to come out here. Don't be discouraged. You know what the Lord wants you to do, do it. So, Decide on the form of your preparation. You want to write down in words or line up in logical development as questions, statements, etc., scripted as what I have been doing now, so that you can always refer to it, change it, add to it, subtract from it. That is the advantage of being, having outline. Or perhaps arrange in my way alliterative outlines in point forms, etc. Finally, in the future days, think on these things. After you have prepared your outline, think on these things. Let further thoughts come in. Read further. Be aware of relevant current development where you may apply, take the home truth. For example, you hear what's happening now in KL Kuala Lumpur, you know what's happening now in your church, apply them. Commit the message to God and to memory, the basic thoughts, the basic outline. Not everything, but the major thoughts. You are now ready to present the message. I find most useful. If you want to join me, please feel free to do so. After I prepare my outline, then early morning, 6 o'clock, I will go to Botanical Gardens. I go for my morning walk. And as I walk, I begin to think what I was going to say. I will try to revise the main headings, the first 3 points, and then would go on to the sub points and see whether I could still remember. In most cases, could not remember. But never mind. I added some more thoughts. Some more thoughts came to my mind. And at one time, I had with me, first time I was introduced to an MP3 recorder. So as I walk, I would put MP3 recorder in mind. And then if I remember any thoughts, I would speak to the recorder. And some of the workers passing by, would think that I was mad, talking to myself, never mind. Because my memory was so bad that when I was walking, I could remember all the thoughts. It came so wonderfully. How nice. Went home, forgot everything. So I thought I would try to remember by recording MP3. So that's how I was introduced to MP3 recorder. Alright? So, if after you're prepared, go for your morning walk and think on these thoughts. Don't think on these thoughts when you are about to sleep. You cannot sleep. Don't. My advice is don't. You cannot sleep. You wake up at 3 a.m. and after that, you cannot sleep anymore. That's my experience. And I see that some of the younger adults, they nod their head. That's their experience also. See? So, when you want to sleep, sleep in peace. But don't rest in peace. And then after that, go on. Early morning, wake up. And that's why sometimes some of you receive email messages from me written to you 4 a.m. 5 a.m. Like this morning, Mr. Ong Eng Wan received from me at 5 a.m. also. something that I wanted him to do and so on. Because I could not sleep anymore. So I would make full use of the early part of the morning. And of course, because today I could not go for my morning walk. So, make use of this time. Alright. You are ready to present your message. You are ready. And I finish sharp at 6 o'clock. I have got to forego my workshop. I leave it till next time. No, I won't leave it. Why should I leave you in peace when I have to work so hard? Alright. Now, I'm going to give out these notes. These notes actually are from my rumination. Alright, that's why you see a picture of myself there. Now, some of you have not seen, have not even gone into the website to see my rumination. Frankly speaking, my rumination for every Sunday in preparation for the Lord's Supper actually is a message. Actually is a message. You can develop it. I have no copyright. You can use it, any part, to help you participate in the Lord's Supper. And I'd like you to see how the message is developed. How I... can somebody please help me to... Alright. This is today's rumination. Now, for those of you who do not know what this is about, 15 years already, I have been... No, not 15 years, sorry. Or 5. This is number 454. All right. Rumination number divided by 50. 8 years already. 8 years already. I have been publishing this rumination every Sunday without fail, and all these ruminations are original, not copied from anywhere. And they are actually message outlines for people who like to use them to develop further. Now, homework. I'm going to give homework. I'm not going to do all the work. For the next session, you see how the rumination, how I developed the rumination. Saw, seen, see. In the first page. Alright? Now, what happened was, one day I was reading John chapter 20. And as I was reading it, I found the word saw, seen, see again occurring again and again, again and again in John chapter 20. At least over 10 times. So, I thought to myself, that could not be the same word all the time. So I used my concordance. I found out from Strong's concordance. Oh, there are at least four different Greek words being used. At least four. And all translated differently. And so I began to collect all the verses that translate the same Greek word together, and then see how they are developed. And so I come up with this rumination. How the four Greek words, though they are translated as seen, see, or saw in English, almost the same, yet they have different meanings, different nuances. And therefore, I began to think about them. Why the Apostle John used different words for different occasions? Then I began to look into the background of the passage. I began to see what happened. And then this is the result of the rumination. I dealt with only, I think, three words or four in my rumination. Three. I said, just now there are four. The fourth one is found in the thought, in the reflections for the week. Alright, the fourth one. Then I have, the fourth one, it uses a Greek word that is translated in English in two ways. Either see, saw, seen, or know. Now, come prepared next week with a message based on those verses, eight verses.
Fortnight away.
Pardon?
Next week is the...
2 weeks away. Fortnight. Right, in a fortnight's time, come up with a message. This is your exercise. How would you link the verses together so that they form an outline? They form an outline. Try to look at the verses, think carefully, develop them, and as an example, use the method I use in the main rumination outline and see how you can develop. Look at the context, look at the thoughts reflected, why such a word is used and why such a word is not used, and so on. Try to look at the grammar of it, try to examine it, and come up with a message. That is your homework for next time. Okay, with that I finish.